Robin Sabatino is the county commissioner, District 4 in Manatee County, and she is running for re-election, and we invited her in to talk about some things. Robin, when were you elected?
I was elected the last election cycle, so I've been in about 3+ years. November will be.
And this was your first time as a county commissioner?
Exactly.
All right, so tell us, do you have any other political experience before that?
I personally do not. My brother-in-law was the former governor of the state of Delaware and the congressman from Delaware for many, many years.
Good.
Michael Castle.
All right, so tell us a little bit about your background, about your education, maybe a little bit about your family, too.
Right. Well, that's nice that you ask. I'm originally from Wilmington, Delaware. I'm a native Wilmingtonian, and a lot of different Wilmingtons, so around here you have to say which state you're from. And went to the University of Delaware and graduated from there. And
what did you study?
I did study home economics and psychology. So it was a weird combination there. Yeah.
Psychology at home as well.
Yeah. And I got into real estate when my daughter was 4 because I wanted some flexibility in my schedule. And it was a really good career, and I've been licensed since 1986.
You were with which company, the realtor company?
Here, Michael Saunders. But originally, I had to be licensed in 3 states because they were so. You could stand at the wedge and be in 3 states. If you had one leg, you'd be in 3 at one time. But you could put your hand down.
All right, so we're going to go into that in a little bit more detail about, of course, development here. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, let me just ask you, being a realtor before being a county commissioner, did that give you a perspective on some of the issues?
Absolutely, and it's a great question because people ask me that all the time. Is it the same or is it different? And I have to say both, because my job, I see myself as a public servant, and it's all about service. And being in the real estate industry, it's 100% service.
That sounds good. Yeah.
I mean, I pick people up, I take them to meetings, and so I'm all
about that. As a realtor, you're saying you're also doing some public service when you were doing that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
But then on the opposite, when you're your own boss, when you're your own entrepreneur in your real estate firm, in your real estate company, if there's something you need to do, you just go ahead and do it. You don't have a committee. You don't have layers.
Right.
And being in government, wasn't used to that. That took me a while to get used to the layers of the onion. Just for instance, we're talking about feral cats.
Yeah.
And we wanted to move a food source from private property over to a little piece of land that the county owns. I have to go through the county attorney, property maintenance, utilities, and purchasing, all these companies, departments I have to go for to get permission to put little food on one spot.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, share that stuff with us, because we don't know. If you were not there, we wouldn't know that. All right, in terms of public service, you also do some volunteering. Tell us about that.
Oh, I love volunteering.
Yeah, because my wife volunteers in the schools, and so do you in the elementary schools, right? So what are you doing there?
In the past couple of years, I had volunteered over at Daughtry Elementary in Harlee. And Daughtry was, we had a reading program over there.
Right. And my wife is also involved with in her program. She reads, she has assigned to a couple of kids she reads to. What is your program like?
Well, my program this year is a little different. I'm over at Bashaw Elementary, and I have 2 young ladies who are 9 and 10, and they're just so precious. And I couldn't sleep last night, and my husband was still reading it on his little Kindle. And so we started talking about the little girls and how precocious they are at 9 and just how smart they are, and it's just adorable. And the one little girl's into those American Girl dolls, so she was showing me her little booklet, and very cute. It's just nice to see them.
And I'll share with my experience with my volunteer, and we're all volunteers at this radio station as well. Virtually none of us are getting paid, but that kind of fills a void in my life of giving back to the community. And just tell us what that means to you personally.
Well, it's so nice to be able to give back. And we have jobs, or you know, you have enough resources that you can devote some of your time to other areas that you have the passion for. You know, your wife is volunteering at the schools. I like to volunteer at the schools, and so many people and other commissioners volunteer at so many other organizations, the homeless shelter and so on. So, you know, whenever we have spare time, we try to give back.
Very nice. All right, I think it's time to get into some issues. What do you think?
So
you are running for re-election against Tim Norwood. He ran against you last time. how do you see yourself different from the other candidate? This is your opportunity to set yourself apart here.
All right. Well, I've had a tough primary the last go around. I had Tim and Norm Lupino, very nice gentlemen. We had a very civil campaign, and we were all different in many ways. And one was a little to the left. One was a little to the right, and I was right down the middle. So I stayed down the middle and stayed my course, and it was tight at the end.
It was. It was really close, wasn't it?
A question I'm dying to ask you. Yeah. I'm dying to ask other people who are involved with primaries, and that is having somebody on either side. I guess it sort of defines you in the middle. But do you find yourself, let's say, one of your candidates, I'm not saying they are, but let's say they're sort of Tea Party and that stuff. Do you find yourself being sort of pulled in that direction because the other candidate is saying Tea Party issues? Does it influence how do you resist that? Because a lot of people can't do that.
No, I adapt. I'm a very adaptable person.
Yeah.
But I also go and support the Tea Party and a lot of their events. They have a lot of social issues that they're concerned with, a lot of school issues. And so I actually would love my position not to be partisan. Like the school board is not
partisan. Well, we'd like that too, but that's often not the case. Yeah.
And ideally, the cities are nonpartisan.
Right, right.
But so the county are partisan races. But when I'm up there or in my shoes all the time, I represent all the people. I just don't represent Republicans. I represent Democrats, Independents,
all
everyone.
But if that's the case and you say you do go to Tea Party events, there is a conflict because the Tea Party is decidedly Republican, decidedly anti-Obama, let's face it, and anti many of the things that the Democrats have done, like Medicaid here in Florida and stuff, which has hurt lots of people. All right, so I guess I have to ask you how you feel and then how you reconcile. You're doing volunteer work, but then our governor and the Republicans here and the Tea Party really didn't take up $50 billion. This is not your issue, but since you're going to – how do you reconcile? Do you agree with the fact that what the Tea Party is doing in terms of not taking the money for Obamacare or
– Well, for Medicaid.
For Medicaid.
No, expansion of Medicaid.
Medicaid part. How do you deal with that?
Well, that's a great question because just this last Tuesday night, I stopped over at the Tea Party just for a few minutes, and it wound up being over an hour. And my husband said, you can never go anywhere for a few minutes. It's always an hour or so. But one of the questions that came up was regarding the funding that we do for children's services. And there is a part of our taxes that have been voted on by the citizens to be allocated for children's services. And so I had just said I had just come from a workshop regarding the amount of money that's $7 million and how it's allocated. And, you know, with our money dwindling, we have to be really, really careful of where it's going and if it's working, if the project's working. So in the past, certain priorities were in place and we funded those, but now we're making them really, you know, to the task. They have to monitor what's working, what's not working, and where we really need to focus. Because if you spread out too thinly, then you're not going to accomplish anything. If you focus on a couple issues that you really need to focus on, and we zeroed in on really, really early education from birth before they get to VPK.
Yeah, Head Start is one of the most successful programs. That's one example, right?
So,
the Head Start kind of stuff.
And right. We have so many programs, after-school programs, before school, and daycare programs, because let's face it, in our society, there are an enormous amount of single-parent families, and they can't be everything to everyone. And so they are relying on our extra programs, the schools, to help them. But so few of the folks that were there were not in favor, and I was just kind of blown away. They actually took the stance of wanting to pull the plug on every program until they can really prove that it works. They are tired of funding programs that may not necessarily work, that encourage people to keep getting assistance and not weaning them off assistance. It's not an easy task, and it's not it's not easy to do, because if it were easy to do, it would be done. So that really blew me away. And they were saying, well, if you are going to fund these programs, then we might not support you. So there you go.
Boy, we could certainly talk a lot. And I'm not trying to put you in the position of defending the Tea Party. And indeed, you're saying you have some disagreements with that, which is very interesting. I think if I was in your shoes, that would be something I would struggle with, because you're obviously trying to help kids. And that some of the Tea Party, let's face it, some of their policies are more directed towards the super rich, the Koch brothers and the multimillionaires, and not so much against for helping poor people. And that's my opinion. I think many people, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there are like, thinking this same kind of thing. So it's interesting to hear you struggling with that.
Right.
Anything else you want to add to that,
and
then we'll move on?
And that's great, because you have to put yourself in everyone else's shoes. You can't view life how you grew up. Because I'm older than you, but when I grew up, it was kind of like Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver. And, mom stayed home with her little apron, and she had cookies waiting for you and milk when you got home from school. And the minute you walked in the house, you showed, Ma. And today it's not the case, the working moms. So you have to relate to the times and adapt to the times. And it's a really difficult situation. You really have to take people and walk them through your world, have them shadow you for a day and find out what's going on.
I guess the other comment, since you mentioned sort of women's roles and stuff like that, again, going just, and then we'll move on from the Tea Party, is that the Tea Party has been characterized as being a war on women, and with abortion, many bills for that, and the vaginal ultrasound and all that stuff. So I imagine it would be really hard to be a woman and supporting the Tea Party, especially as an elected official. What do you think of the Tea Party, women's view?
Well, I haven't encountered that directly here. Our Tea Party is a little more calm or moderate or conservative here versus others that may be in other locations.
Yeah, I think she's correct in that, Steve. The Tea Party's real issue is taxes and spending.
Yeah.
They aren't really, they're like super conservative about that. They aren't really social conservatives. That's another far right wing of the Republican Party. you're like mixing some of them up. The evangelicals are the ones that are, pretty much, on the forefront of what's been characterized as a war on women and women's health, I think.
Right.
All right, so just to leave this here, and then let's move on. Would you characterize Tim Norwood as being more Tea Party oriented?
He is definitely, and he has on his campaign literature Tea Party candidate.
Gotcha.
But he's not endorsed by the Tea Party, and actually they have indicated to me that they have not endorsed yet. So, again, locally, to defend them, they are not really real radical as far as some of these issues. Their issues, as we just said, are taxes and spending. And they're very involved with the school board and their taxes and spending. That's been the majority of their focus here on school board issues and funding.
All right, let me remind everybody, Robin DiSabatino is a county commissioner, District 4 in Manatee County. She's running for re-election. She's in the studio, and we so thank her for being here. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida. We are your true Sarasota community radio station, surreal news weapon of mass instruction. So let's talk about development versus the character of the community. And your unique background as a realtor, you've sort of seen both sides. All right, so how do you reconcile, and then we're going to go on to some of these projects here, development versus character of community?
Well, most people are not from here anymore. There are very few natives. But the natives knew old Florida, and they want their old Florida. But most people that have moved here really moved here because they love the old Florida feel. If they wanted the hustle and bustle and the big stores and the glitz, they'd be over on the East Coast. They wanted a more laid-back, quiet, gentler way of life, so they're here. They like the waterways. They like what they can do as far as agriculture and our parks and just as you said, it's the best small town. I think we were voted the third best small town the other day.
Well, yeah, you know, that was just my observation when I moved here to like over 20 years ago, that it was the biggest small town you ever lived in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how I described it to people back home when they asked me what Bradenton was like, you know.
Right. You can't go anywhere.
All right. So yeah. My question is, okay, yes, yeah, we feel that we want to preserve Florida, but we have Lakewood Ranch and we have other development projects coming in. How do you deal with those? So you're making these decisions. What do you want to know? What do you feel is important in the decision making? How do you reconcile some of the conflicts? There's conflicts there that some of them can't be resolved.
Right. There's always going to be pluses and minuses, and he versus she, you versus they. And as you said, with me, we said earlier, with me down the middle,
yeah.
I try to see both sides. And whenever there is a new community or a piece of land to be rezoned, I personally drive out there. That's where my real estate background. I can't change a piece of property unless I physically go out there and take a look.
Since we're short on time, let's talk about the example of Long Bar Point, because we want to go there anyway, because that's what we're talking about. All right, so you voted no to the Long Bar Point map amendment request and the land use there. Long Bar Point is kind of south Manatee County. We reported on that before. You know, there's a land use and then a mixed use, and then there's a water use, et cetera. So tell me, why did you vote no?
Well, there were two issues that we were voting on, a text amendment and then the map amendment. And during all this, the map amendment was going to come first before voting on the text amendment. But I thought it should be the other way around. And actually, at the hearing, there was a wonderful moment of silence where I was able to jump in and say, I want to vote on the text amendment first, because the text amendment, if we had changed that, that would have opened up the door for everyone who had waterfront property to be able to assemble that and destroy mangroves or destroy the environment or change it in any way. So we had decided that we were going to oppose the text amendment, which was a huge relief for everyone. And that was unanimous. That was a 7-0. And then I was hoping to set the stage so that tone for the map amendment to head in that direction, because it was so controversial. We had over 1,000 people till over past 2 o'clock in the morning up at the Civic Center. And Commissioner Chappie, Gallen, and myself stood strong in not wanting to change the character of that area. It is in the coastal high hazard area, the coastal evacuation area, very environmentally sensitive. And to get 1,000 people to be there, not all 1,000 stayed till 2 in the morning, but pretty much they did. And I was upset that I couldn't win one more person over because, and then he decided to remove the marina from his project.
That's
so
right.
If he hadn't done that, it was going to be an up or down vote. And it would have been a down vote. But when he removed the marina, that's when Carol Whitmore decided that she would go over and side with them. But it turned out that with all this publicity and all the heat that they were taking, they decided to pull it from the second hearing. And actually, funny story, if I have a second, my husband and I were away. We were actually away for Christmas holiday, and I didn't have internet access. And I came back, and I started reading my emails a few days later, and I saw that the item was pulled from the meeting. And I looked at my watch because it was like January 1st, and I thought, this is not April 1st. I thought it was like an April Fool's joke. But I found out that it was pulled. And so I didn't win on the vote, but I won in the long run.
We are actually out of time. Boy, this time has flown by. I did not get to the impact fees I wanted to ask you about, which I think are an important issue, and some of the other developments like the Del Tierra development and even the waterline development out there. But I think our listeners got a good idea about your approach trying to balance and you know, it's kind of middle of the line here.
Right. Okay. Yeah, people have development rights and land rights, and so we have to, again, balance everything.
Yeah, the other one is the extension of, you know, Cortez to Lakewood Ranch, that, I guess the
44th Avenue.
The 44th Avenue extension, we didn't talk about that.
We'll have to come back.
Okay, we got to watch. When is the primary?
It's not till the end of August, like the 26th, so we have a long time.
And right.
Can I do a little plug?
Yes. So don't mention any, you can't say anything about money, which I know
you weren't
going to do anyway. But tell us about your website, phone numbers, anything else you want our listeners to know.
I'm hands-on. You can call my cell phone at any time, 941-685-5368, for any issues that you have. And my website for the campaign is Robin, robin.com. And if you want to send me an email, voteforrobind@gmail.com.
We are recording this. If anybody missed any parts of this or want anybody to hear it, it will be posted at the Surreal News probably later today, and then also make it available. You can put it on your website. Again, this is Robin DiSabatino. She's the District 4 County Commissioner in Manatee County, running for re-election. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, great.